Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. See, this is when I hear that, I wish it was Thursday. So it would be triple play Thursday. Jim and Carbondale, man, Courtney Barnett, she rules.
She is awesome.
Oh,
I've seen her play a couple times.
You know, I only knew of her. I'd heard a couple of things, but when she was on SNL a few weeks ago, unbelievable. And then I just went nuts, went online and just listened to everything. Did you see her on SNL, Esmeralda?
I didn't.
She was phenomenal.
Did not.
Phenomenal. That was Avant Gardner, Courtney Barnett. She's great. Where did you see her?
I saw her at Shuba's. And then maybe a year later, I saw her at Pitchfork Music Fest.
She's great, man. She's great. And how about that dude who was just on, James Abood?
You're like, that guy was in here.
Man.
No, it was great.
He was great.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I was just like, yeah. I could listen to that guy play all night. If all the information to his website, to his music, to the show on Saturday at the store, is all on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/NickDShow. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio. How's everybody doing? 312-981-7200. If you would like to request something for Wild Card Wednesday, yeah, Wild Card Wednesday, it's wild and it's a card. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Okay, we're going to talk about firsts here. It is June 1st, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. And we're going to talk about firsts. And we haven't done this in a long time, but we would love to hear from you. I got several categories here, and I can just open up the floor. 312-981-7200. Let's just go with this one first. First car. All right. Vic, what was your first car?
It was an Impala, but not one of the cool ones. I think it was a 70s model, and it was like as big as a boat.
Yeah. And how long did you have it? Do you remember?
I had that for 2 years through high school, I think.
Did you just drive it into the ground?
Oh, yeah. Donuts almost every night in the gravel, you know. I had wires sticking out of the tires. I mean, it would get along pretty well. I mean, it would hit about 120, but, I mean, you know, it was just, you just kind of just floated down the highway.
Yeah.
And it was out in the country. I wasn't doing
I was gonna
dangerous
say, feel,
in the city. But
feel free to open it up, Vic. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. What? It had a four-barrel Holley carburetor.
A four-barrel Holley. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy cow, man.
Yeah, it would move, but it wasn't a very nice-looking car.
It's all right. It's an Impala. It moved.
It did
its job.
Right.
As what first cars are supposed to do. They're not really supposed to be good. They're your first car.
Exactly.
Normally, a first car is a piece of crap. It's definitely, in my case, it was definitely used.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't a new car. I don't think anybody, well, I'm sure a lot of people have their first car as a new car. I'm just not in that financial bracket.
Right.
I was never in that financial bracket to get a new car as my first car. That just wasn't the case.
Yeah.
How about you, Esmeralda? What was your first car?
It was an 89 Volkswagen Cabriolet.
Oh, wow.
It was red. And it was so cute.
Yeah. Did you have a cassette player in it?
I did. Didn't have a cassette player. And one big speaker in the back. The speakers did not work. So it was just one big booming speaker that was the size of the trunk.
Well, now, was it just one speaker with, like, one channel? So you only got, like, the left channel?
Yep.
That sucks.
So it was like I was doing karaoke when I would listen to certain songs.
Yeah.
So like Mamas and the Papas and the Beatles, it was a lot of just like
because
they
would
couldn't
the,
hear
because
the
vocals
other...
were mixed on the other channel.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a lot of me going, wait, oh, okay, and then I would just sing with it.
That's annoying.
And when I put the top down, everything was muffled because the speaker was in the back.
Oh, it was a ragtop.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it was convertible.
Wow.
Yeah, I was styling.
That was very cool.
And then my brother crashed it. And it was never the same again. The poor thing was, the wheel was crooked.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you're looking at the wheel.
Like the steering wheel was crooked?
Yeah, turn that 90 degrees. And that's how I had to drive it. Yep.
You might want to get an alignment.
Yeah, it's probably very dangerous.
Yeah, that's very dangerous.
I drove it for years.
See, that's another thing. You know, when you get your first car, you avoid repairs at all costs.
I didn't know what that was. I was like, what? It still drives. It's fine.
It's fine. That's incredibly dangerous. That really
is. I'm still here. So.
Yeah, I know, but that's is that why your brother crashed the car?
No, he crashed it and then that
and
happened.
And then that happened. Oh, okay. I was going to say that might be the reason why your brother crashed the car. It was in dangerous need of a wheel alignment. No, but that was after your brother crashed.
Yes.
Okay. Dan, what was your first car? I think we all know this, right?
Yep.
Yep.
I was bestowed the 98 Monte Carlo from my friend Bill because we keep the Monte Carlos in the family.
Dan was part of the Monte Carlo Poppin' Baker Square. Sorry, I keep saying Poppin' Fresh because it was Poppin' Fresh before it was Baker Square.
Right.
But Dan was part of that really ruthless gang on the Northwest side, the Monte Carlo Baker Square dudes.
I'm sure you saw our tag.
I was just gonna ask if you tagged all the. So how many of you guys?
I was the chocolate mousse.
How? Yo, chocolate mousse, man. Yo, chocolate mousse from the Monte Carlo Baker Squares. That's it, man. That's your new persona right there. You got DJ Shagrew for Fridays.
I can't go by that. I mean, some of the statute of limitations aren't passed.
Oh,
sure.
It's true, because you guys were bad.
Right.
You guys were bad. How many guys had Monte Carlos? Three?
Three.
Three guys had Monte Carlos.
Of the core six.
Of the core six, half of the guys in this group had Monte Carlos, and three of them would be parked outside of a Baker Square at any given time.
Right.
And which Baker Square was that again?
This was the Harlem and Foster.
Harlem and Foster Baker Square.
Would you guys park right next to each other?
You know,
in the parking lot?
We usually rolled in on separate occasions, you know, even though we all live within 5 minutes of each other, we all felt the need to drive separately. So occasionally the three would be lined up, but more than likely they'd be spread apart.
Now, you don't live very far from that Baker Square.
I do not.
And do you ever just bust out of Monte Carlo and go over there?
I, you know, if I could rent one, I would, to relive the glory.
Does it feel weird to go there without a Monte Carlo? Does it feel incomplete?
It's all classed up now. Like, there's a fireplace in there for goodness
sake. Is there really?
Yeah, like, baby.
Dang.
Yeah, so.
Wow. Now, when you guys would go to Baker Square, did you ever bust over to Chuck E. Cheese?
No, that I believe had closed by that time.
I probably had seen you guys, your Monte Carlos lined up all slickly, because I did my shopping at that Jewel's when I lived in the Honeybee Complex. Because the Honeybee Complex was at Foster and Cumberland, so that's where Scott, who likes to bust chairs at Hooters' Brian Adams shows, we would shop there because we lived in the Honeybee Complex. So I probably came across your Monte Carlo. Maybe you jumped me. I was jumped a couple of times in that parking lot.
Wow.
It's probably you guys.
If only we had known the dangers that lied.
I didn't know how dangerous. How dangerous.
On a Sunday night at 8 p.m.
What a crazy life you've led, Dan. Chocolate.
Chocolate.
Chocolate mousse. Was that what you said, chocolate mousse?
Yeah.
Okay. You know chocolate mousse is one of the characters' names in Top Secret.
Really? Yeah. How about that?
Chocolate mousse. All right, my first car was a 1977 cranberry-colored Firebird. Yeah! Got it from one of my mom's friends. It was a used car.
I thought you said your first car didn't... That's a pretty cool car.
Yeah, it was. But, I mean, I drove it into the ground, man. I mean,
Didn't have the big Firebird on it?
No.
What? Come on.
No, it didn't.
He had the half-naked lady riding a unicorn.
The thing about that car, and, you know, it was not the car. I learned to drive in a Ford Fairmont. Yeah, that was the cars that they had at Taft, because I took driver's ed at Taft High School, and they had Ford Fairmont. So I learned to drive in a Ford Fairmont. And then I drove a Celica for a while. My parents had a Toyota Celica, so I drove that around. But the first car that I ever got was the Firebird. Here's the thing about that car. It was a 1977 Firebird. I had to get the cassette installed into it because it didn't have a cassette player. And so the thing about that car is, have you guys driven a Firebird? Has anybody ever driven a Firebird?
No. I have not.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. How much... what is the difference between, have you ever measured the difference between the back end of a Firebird and the hood, the front end?
No.
Because there's no back end on a Firebird. It's all hood.
Right.
So, trying to parallel park, trying to get used to parallel parking in that car was ridiculous because it's like a 75-foot hood and a 2-inch trunk. It's just so top-heavy. The car was so insanely top-heavy that, I became a very good parallel parker because of that car because I could measure it in a different way. So that was my first car. Drove that thing into the ground. Had many blowouts on the highway. And then I would ride on the blowout. It would go because there'd be rubber flapping off of it. And I'd go to one of those storefront tire places, like on Fullerton or Division, right off the highway. I'd go to one of those places where there's just guys, it's a storefront, and all they do is like change tires. And I would just go there and pay like $10 for another bald tire that I could drive on for like maybe a month before that one blew out on the Kennedy. Oh, man, I drove that car into the ground. Did not, though, use Victory Auto Wreckers for that one. My next car I did, which was my fantastic Ford Escort, my 86 Ford Escort, which eventually ended up in Victory Auto Wreckers. So, all right, first cars, 312-981-7200. We'll take a break. We're talking about firsts. It is June 1st. And we're talking about first. We'll go to first car, first job, first date, first, we do first concert and first albums all the time. When musicians are in, we can do that. First kiss. So we'll do the firsts here. We haven't done it in a while, so we want to hear from you. Talk or text 312-981-7200. We'll take a break and come back with all your firsts. Yeah, man. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah. Get your requests in. 312-981-7200. Text them in. Randy requested, "Are You Happy" by Iron Butterfly. Yeah, man. Iron Butterfly, man. Hey, do you know you guys know Iron Butterfly's biggest hit, right? You guys familiar with it? Vic, Esmeralda?
It's not.
No.
Indigata de Vita.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Indigata de Vita is their biggest hit. And it's 73 minutes long. Now, do you know the origin of the title of that song?
Because they were so blown out of their minds.
They were trying to, yep.
They wanted us in the Garden of Eden.
That's exactly
so
right.
It wouldn't come out right.
They were so loaded that it came out Indigata de Vita. The guy who wrote the song couldn't say in the Garden of Eden because he was hammered. Inagata de Vita. And that always, every time Inagata de Vita, how do you not think of the Simpsons episode in the church?
Yes.
With the 90 minute organ solo. Oh, man. All right, we're talking firsts here. We got a bunch of categories here. It's June 1st, so we're talking firsts. We were just talking about first cars. We've got some people. Here's Betty on the line. Hey, Betty.
Hi.
What was your first car?
It was given down to me through the family. I was the last of five kids, and I had a 41 Dodge.
Oh, man.
It was built like a tank and had four on the floor.
See, now,
that's where I learned to drive.
I'm picturing Betty just peeling out in this giant Dodge.
It was built like a tank, and so when I ended up with it, I was back. Now, this is old, I think in the 50s, we had demolition derbies down at Soldiers Field.
Yeah, sure.
And I entered my car in that thing.
Wait. Hold on, Betty. You entered your first car in a demolition derby?
Yes, I did. That's where I ended up.
That's the greatest story I've ever heard in my life.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. I was a little wilder, I guess, then.
Absolutely. Did you drive it in the demolition derby?
Yes. Yeah.
Good Lord, Betty. How did you do?
Oh, I got wrecked.
You got wrecked. Well, it is a demolition derby. So let me get this straight, Betty. Let me get this straight, Betty. Back in the 50s, you could just enter a demolition derby like it was okay for a woman to just, I'm going to, I yeah. would like to, yes?
Yeah. All you had to do was know somebody that worked or did something with the park district, and you'd get involved, and you could enter a car, but, you know, you had to have the title because it was a mess when you left it, you know.
That's amazing.
A big part of it was to learn how to go into reverse and, you know, slam into somebody into reverse. Get their engine when they were just hitting your trunk.
Oh, Betty, that's great. All right. That's so great. Thanks for the call, Betty.
It's a good memory for an 80-year-old woman.
Yeah, God bless you, Betty. Have a great day, okay?
Bye.
Bye. Call of the year, my friend.
That is the coolest thing I have ever heard.
Mark the tape on that one, please. Betty rules. She's called in before many times, Betty. I did not know, however, that she was in a demolition derby with her giant Dodge.
Well, now you know.
It's fantastic.
Betty is tough.
Man, that's fantastic. 219 area code says, my first car is a 66 Rambler Classic with Nash seats. The front seats folded down flat for a large bed. It was great for drive-ins. Yeah! Dino says, my first car was a 1966 GTO. I just sold it. I had it for 33 years. Wow. But he must have got some money for that. A 66 GTO? Man. I mean, if it was in good condition, he had to get some cash for that. That's a badass car. Dirk the Cop texted in. My first car was a 68 Plymouth Satellite. 383 cubic engines of raw power. 4-speed manual trans. 4-barrel. 60 miles per hour in first gear. The thing was a boat. It was fast. Daddy-o?
What, you're not hep to the language?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Square.
Sorry. Hey, do they make manual transmissions anymore?
What?
They still do, but
they're
rare.
Yeah. Do you think any millennials know how to drive a stick?
Do any millennials know how to drive?
Wow, you sounded like the old man in that exchange, Dan. Good Lord.
I think they're more European cars.
With the stick?
Have stick shift. Because I know my dad, like, he always drives stick shifts.
Yeah.
He's always, for as long as I can remember, had a BMW.
Okay.
And it's always been stick shift, and he won't let me drive it.
Do you know how to drive stick?
I don't know how to drive stick
shift.
Well,
I wouldn't let you drive it either.
And he won't teach me. He's like, no, this car won't. No. I'm like, man.
He doesn't want you to burn the clutch out, man. He can smell you coming a mile away, you know? Hey, that's my clutch. What the hell are you doing? Yeah, I just wasn't aware. I wasn't aware that they still manufactured cars with manual transmissions anymore.
Oh, for sure. I have a few friends who they exclusively.
I mean, it's cheaper, right? Isn't it? It's cheaper to get a stick shift, right?
It is cheaper, yes.
Yeah, of course it is. Learn, children, learn. All right, we have to take a break. Let's go to first job next. Everybody, think about that. What was your first job? And we'll go first job and the first time you quit or got fired. So we'll do a combination. First job and then the first time you ever quit or got fired from a job. 312-981-7200. Firsts when the news is coming up next. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, your overnight dude till 5. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song. 815 area code requested Jackson Browne's Doctor My Eyes. Interesting true story about that song. And my father. So that song was, I want to say, 75, maybe 76, right around that time it came out. My dad's driving in his car. And this is an absolute true story. He's got the radio on, and he's about to light a cigarette, and he's got a book of matches because, you know, this is the 70s, so You know, you can take both hands off the wheel to try and light a cigarette while you don't have your seatbelt on, because it's the 70s. So my dad's driving along, puts a cigarette in his mouth, strikes the match. He hits a bump. The match goes into my dad's eye. That song was playing on the radio when it happened. I am not kidding you. True story. My dad, you know, he had to go to the doctor and, you know, he had like a burn on his eyelid and whatever. And he had to wear like a patch, not a patch, but he had to wear a bandage over his eye for a few days. And he was fine after that. But he was seriously, he struck a match, hit a bump. The match went in his eye. That song was playing on the radio. It's a true story. Doctor My Eyes by Jackson Browne. Now, you can imagine the mileage my dad got out of that story. Can you imagine the millions of times my dad told that story as like a punchline? Like he told the story and then go, you know what song was playing on the radio? Doctor My Eyes by Jackson Browne. And then everybody would go, yeah, that's funny, Nick. Because, you know, everything that my dad says, half of it is a joke anyway, so you don't believe him. But he's like, no, I'm serious. Doctor My Eyes by Jackson Browne was playing when I lit my eye on fire in the car. I'm not kidding. I'm not making it up. You know, because my dad's the same guy who said, oh, I just saw a really terrible accident on the Kennedy. You did? Yeah. A prison bus collided with a cement truck. They're looking for 6 hardened criminals. So you think, you know, my dad telling a story about a match going into his eye while he's driving a car with Dr. My Eyes playing. That's got to be a lie. That's got to be a joke, but it's absolutely true. So every time I hear that song, I think of that story. So, all right. All right, let's wrap up this first car stuff here, and then we'll get to first jobs, everybody's first job, and then also the first time you got fired or the first time you quit a job. 815 area code says, my first car was a 1976 four-speed orange Chevy Chevette named Beatrice. Anybody ever name their car? Have you ever named your car? Dan, you ever name your car?
No, I can't say that I did.
Vic, you ever name a car?
It's not very creative, but Old Blue was the name of Impala, the Impala.
Oh, Old
Just
Blue.
Just a faded blue car, so not very creative, but okay. Yeah, I was Old Blue.
All right, what about you, Esmeralda?
No.
I've never named a car either. It was missing the floorboard on the driver's side, so I had to put a floor mat over it to keep the water and snow from flying up and hitting me in the face. I had no idea what a four-speed was, and my dad said, it's yours if you can figure out how to drive it. And I kept it for 5 years. It's amazing, man, the kind of stuff that you would do. You keep a car. There's no floorboard on the driver's side. There is no floorboard on the driver's side of that car. She kept it for 5 years. Mike from Worth said it was a 79 Olds Tornado. White with red leather interior. Factory 307 four-barrel carb. Got barely 8 miles per gallon. I kept blowing up the transmission from trying to brake torque it. At least it had a floorboard. 847 area code. First car was a 68 Rambler Nash wagon. This was not a chick magnet.
My parents had one of those at one time. Yeah. Oh, Nash Rambler.
The Nash Rambler.
Cool car.
Yeah. They're awesome. Those cars are great. Yeah. Mike says, I had a 65 Galaxy XL. Awesome car, but I was young when I inherited it, so it sat in my yard for a year before someone clued me in as to how cool it was. All right. There you go. Wonder how many people out there right now remember cars that didn't have a floorboard. I had a friend who had a Volkswagen. He had a bug. He had a VW bug, an old one, and the floorboard rusted out on the passenger side. So if you drove, you had to balance your feet like right under the dashboard, so that they wouldn't fall onto the ground below, and you would get sucked under the car like Indiana Jones. By the way, I'm showing Raiders of the Lost Ark Tuesday night. So you would have to, it was like a Flintstone car. I'm like, do you have to stick your feet underneath it to start the car? And when you brake, do you have to dig your heels into the road so that the car stops? Cause it has no floorboard. And it was just on the passenger side. So that's why my friend didn't care. He's like, I don't care. You want to fall out through the bottom of the car? That's your business. I'm fine over here. Yeah. All right. Now, first jobs are what we're talking about. Vic, what was your first job?
Ace Hardware Lumber Yard.
At a lumber yard?
And that was also my first time I got fired.
Oh, you got, what'd you get fired for?
Getting ahead of the game here. Yeah. Okay. A little personal, but I was spending some quality time with a girlfriend and I didn't want to end it. So I called in and it was the day, you're supposed to give some advance notice for that type of thing, but yeah. It was the day of my shift and he fired me.
So it was a chick. It was a chick. Of course it was. did you enjoy working at the lumber yard?
That was a hard job. There was no, it wasn't air conditioned. It wasn't heated. So the inclement weather made it kind of a rough job.
How long did you work there?
It wasn't very long. A couple months.
It was until you met the chick.
I had
you
no
worked
work
there.
Ethic.
It was until you. Yeah, you
I
did
had
have
the job longer than I had the girlfriend.
Well, then it was worth it.
I learned a valuable lesson, and that was the only job I've ever been fired from. So
yeah, okay. Esmeralda, first job.
First job was at a Baker Square.
Oh, that's right.
As a hostess.
And you had the carpet sweeper.
Yes.
The Baker Square carpet sweeper.
Yeah. I lasted a week and then I quit.
Why did you quit?
Because I was like, you know what? I'm in high school. This sucks. I'm going to go home.
Not the hooligans that showed up on Sundays.
It was mainly the elderly that showed up and they were demanding. They always wanted to sit by the windows.
Right.
I didn't like it. It was too much for me. Like, they would close at 10, and then I'd get home. I'm like, oh, man, I have to do homework now. And I just realized, I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I'm in high school. I don't need this. I don't need the money. It's
so
fine.
It was a week, and you quit?
I did.
Okay. So you never came in contact with the Baker Square boys?
No. Well, this is Joliet.
Oh, it was
Joliet. This is in Joliet.
Did you guys ever travel out? Did you guys ever travel to different Baker Squares to terrify people?
No, we had our own. That was it.
Okay. What was your first job, Dan?
First job was a research assistant. We've talked on several occasions to a group called Young Chicago Authors,
yes.
Which I was part of. And they helped find us jobs during the summer. So I helped a guy named Jess Levine, who was studying to become for his PhD. So I helped him track down articles that were applicable to his thesis and things like that.
Okay. And then did you quit that job or was
I did not. No, that just ended when the summer was over.
You've never been fired, have
I have
you?
Never been fired.
You just seem like that kind of guy.
Yeah, I did kind of quit a job. I was a board operator for a couple of radio stations in Peoria, WMBD. And I was a senior in college and had gotten the job and with the way my birthday fell, I did not turn 21 until November of my senior year. And so it dawned on me how much fun I was missing. So when holiday break came around, I was just like, hey, how are we going to handle a holiday break? And they're like, well, you have a job here, so you're working. And I was just like, yeah, I really want to go home and see my family. And then they're like, oh. And then they're like, well, we could probably find somebody to cover your shifts for a couple weeks. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I want to come back after that either because I'll be 21. And they're like, so you're leaving? And I'm like, yes. And that was it. Yeah.
See, because you're such a, you're so good.
I know, me now is like, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. That's so awful.
But I mean, that's the thing. You're such a, responsible guy, and you're so great at your job that I could never imagine Dan Shugrue ever being fired from anything. I could never, ever imagine that.
Yeah.
Vic, on the other hand. I was only fired once. I've only been fired once, and it was from Ginger's Ale House. I walked in. There was somebody working my shift. It was a Sunday night, and I came in, and somebody was behind the bar working my shift. And I went,
harsh.
What the hell is going on? The reason I got fired, the only time I've ever gotten fired, was because I used to work two nights a week. I'd work Tuesday and Sunday nights there, and then it went down to one night a week. I was working there on Sunday nights. And Sundays was the session day for the Irish and the British guys who used to hang out there. So they'd start drinking around 11 a.m. My shift started at 6. By the time I'd show up, the owner and all of his friends were hammered. And they would climb over the bar and turn the jukebox up to 90 anytime the Pogues came on. They would scream and yell if I wasn't getting them shots. And at that time, they were into Sambuca, black Sambuca, and it had to be chilled. They would make me chill it until they could see through it. And so meanwhile, there are other people at the end of the bar, like paying customers at the end of the bar, who are waiting and then eventually leaving until there's like nobody left in the bar except for the owner and all of his friends who were drinking for free. So needless to say, I used to get frustrated and I would take it out on these guys. And I would turn the jukebox down, I'd yell at them, and then so finally, the owner of the bar at the time, I came in one night, and there's a chick working behind the bar, a girl I knew, and she looked at me, and she's like, and she mouthed, "I'm sorry." And then he's sitting at the end of the bar, and he goes, "We're going to have to let you go." I go, "Well, thank you for the notice. I appreciate that." And he's like, "Yeah, you just don't have the right temperament for the job." Oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. So he goes, "But you can stay here tonight and you can drink for free." I drank about $700 worth of liquor that night. So that's the only time I was ever fired. That wasn't my first job. My first job was at a hot dog stand. I lasted 2 days. It was a hot dog stand on Lincoln Avenue. I lasted 2 days because the owner that I only knew from buying stuff there, like I'd go there and get pizza puffs and hot dogs and stuff. I used to eat there for lunch when I went to school. But I did not know that the owner, until I started working there, was a coke-headed lunatic who was having sex with the 16-year-old girl that worked there. And he was in his 30s. I found that out on my second day, and I went, "Yeah, I'm not going to work here anymore." So that was my first job. I quit in 2 days because there was a coke-head maniac owner who was having sex with a 16-year-old girl.
I only been fired once, too.
What would you get fired?
Recently. I mean, not like... It was a few years ago when I was not in radio at the time. I was a office assistant / hostess at a very prominent restaurant in River North.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me it was like maybe a month in of them being open, and they told me that they got complaints about me, and it was because I hung up on people.
Who would call in?
Yeah, who were calling in for reservations and stuff.
Yeah.
And they told me that I hung up on them. And it was also because someone yelped about me.
Oh, of course.
I hung up on them.
Here's the thing.
And I'm like, I didn't do it on purpose.
Here's the thing. You're not cut out to be a hostess. We've discovered that.
Right.
That's clearly a thing.
But I was fine the first job.
Right.
This one, they're just like, "No, well, we're just starting to."
You don't have the right temperament for the job.
Whatever. Yeah. I still haven't been back. I want to go back now and be like, "Ha!"
And then hang up on them?
Yep.
Call the hostess and hang up on her? All right, we have to break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and we'll come back. We got a bunch of people on the line. We're talking about the first job you ever had, the first time you were ever fired, or the first time you ever quit a job. Because it's June 1st, and we're doing firsts, and we've got more categories that we'll jump into. We'd love to hear from you. Talk and text 312-981-7200. Wild Card Wednesday. Nick DiGilio here on WGN. Wild Card Wednesday continues. 312-981-7200. Text your request. Any song, any artist on Wild Card Wednesday. 815 requested Sonny and Brownie. You bring out the boogie in me. Yeah. Okay, we're talking about your first job or the first time you quit or the first time you got fired. Here's Carrie on WGN. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Nick. Hey, good morning. Yeah, this is really funny because all the topics that you've changed from, they're all one story for me. First of all, Esmeralda is right. Manual transmissions, you got to get a foreign car or an American muscle car. You can't even get a pickup truck with a manual. So
wow. Okay.
I've got a Mustang GT 2014 with a 6-speed, but unless that, you can't get one.
Wow.
Floorboards. Then I wasn't even thinking about this. I had a friend with a 1976 Ford Granada in high school with rotten, yeah, think about it. It was dark brown. It was a hideous car. But we would drive that thing, and he had the floorboards in the back were shot. But we never did this, but he was convinced that that's a good thing because if we ever drank beer in the car, we could just drop the cans just, through the boards, and then they couldn't catch us.
Right, drop
we
them right through it. The floorboard.
But
what I
told them is, well, is that better than the carbon monoxide coming up through and going to kill us? So, I've lived that.
Yeah.
So my first car and my first job are actually related. So my first car, my dad gave me, and you're going to say this, oh, spoiled brat. My dad gave me a Jaguar XJ6, 1975.
Good Lord.
No. Wait for it. He gave it to me because he bought this beat up Jag, and if you want to put a light bulb in a Jaguar, it's $9,000. So he got tired of it because he bought the piece of crap, and it was a beautiful car. But he got tired of it. Said, "Here, you take this car, but you gotta maintain it." I'm like, okay. So I'm like, okay, it's not a 86 Escort. It's a Jaguar.
Right.
It's like, I want a light bulb. How much is that? $300.
Right.
Like, okay. And I'm in high school. So, but it was a conversation piece. So then I got my first job that I really had to file a tax return for. That's what I consider my first job because I cut lawns and all that.
Oh, yeah,
Was delivering newspapers in the car. It was to businesses and stuff when I was in high school. And it was in that car, so that's related. And I guess that's the first job I quit because I decided I should probably go to college and make something myself. But, so it's all related. And
driving around in a Jaguar delivering newspapers.
A Jaguar that – I'll tell you one quick story. I know you got I picked up my best friend in high school. I would drive to school. And I picked him up one day, and the thing had rubber – it had carburetors and rubber hoses that connected to them. I pick him up one day, and he comes out the door kind of groggy. He starts waving his hands like crazy. And he's like, turn off. He's yelling, turn off. I'm like, what's wrong? Because there was gasoline pouring through the engine. And he's like, it's going to catch on fire. Get out. He almost like dragged me out of the car.
Wow.
So it's, but I will never, it's an experience I would never trade. It cost me all my money in high school.
Yeah.
I made, but.
And your dad knew it would. Yeah.
Yeah. And my first job was delivering papers in that car. And it was awesome because I delivered papers Sunday night through. Kind of like your schedule. So Sunday night through what you do. And they didn't know what the hell I was doing because I was delivering papers at like 3 a.m.
Right.
And occasionally I maybe might come home and they thought I was working and stuff. So it just worked, you know.
It all worked out. All right, Kerry, thanks, man. Yeah. Take care.
Cool, man. Thanks.
All right, bye. Here's Bill with his first job. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I in the early 60s, I worked at a catalog place. $1.35 an hour. I made over $100 a week clear.
Wow.
That's how many hours I had
to
work.
That's a lot of hours you're working right there.
Oh, yeah. And it only lasts about a month. But my first job I got fired from was Flavor Kiss. They hired me, and they had me putting dough in the thing that screwed the dough. And, you know, they make cookies or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, mine came out like... a lot of dough was missing. And that lasted about 3 hours.
3 hours? You worked at Flavor Kiss for 3 hours?
Yeah. And because the dough was, you know, I mean, this part be missing, this part would be missing.
Yeah. I gotcha.
And it says, okay, thank you. And
that's
I was
it.
Gone.
That's
Are
it.
You eating the dough? Like, where was it going?
I wasn't fast enough.
He wasn't fast enough on the conveyor belt.
Oh, okay, so like an I Love Lucy situation.
And so they would bring the dough over, and I was supposed to, you know, keep on putting it in that thing, and all of a sudden.
I got tired. Yeah, I got tired. That's it. I'm out of here. All right.
Yeah.
Bill, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, Flavor Kissed. My God. Everybody remember that from the expressway? All right. All right, we got to take a break here. We got the news coming up, and then we got more firsts. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Good morning, everybody. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. Steve in Oak Brook requested Riders on the Storm in honor of yesterday's weather, which he was caught in while riding his bike. Oh, boy.
That is the worst.
Man, oh, man.
I got hailed on once.
Bike Harley, not bike bicycle.
Oh. Oh, on his Harley.
Oh, that's right.
You got hailed on?
Yeah, it started hailing as I was riding my bike, my bicycle.
Oh, boy.
It just felt like someone was just flicking little rocks at me.
Yeah, it's fun to be out in the middle of a hailstorm. That's always a blast. All right. Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. It's Wednesday morning. Here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich at 5 and then the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning commute. We're going to be talking more firsts here. Let's see. Let's do first concerts for everybody. 312-981-7200. Text in your first concerts. I always ask when musicians come in, their first album and their first concert. And we're talking first because it is June 1st. And we talked about your first car and we talked about your first job. We got a bunch of texts here about the first job. But Mary also wants to tell us about her first job. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. First of all, I really appreciated the artist you had on. He was super.
Wasn't he great?
Loved his songs.
Yeah.
Okay, back in the 40s, we would have local dairies. I live in Michigan City, and they would deliver milk to your front door.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the story. Then there was a storefront that they made their own ice cream, and I worked in the part where we would put together all the goodies, homemade milkshakes, sodas, a sundae called a Tang sundae, a delicious syrup made out of Bing cherries, pecans, and just too good to pass up.
Mm.
I started in 1948, earned enough money to buy my class ring. I got 35 cents an hour.
Wow. 35 cents an hour.
And the kids from the parochial school and the public school would get together there and do their homework and play the jukebox. And that's how I learned shorthand. I wrote down every song I heard and learned my shorthand so I could get a good office job eventually.
That's unbelievable. So you worked, you got to hang out with friends, you bought your class ring, you learned shorthand, and that got you an office job.
Beautiful, yes.
Yeah, that's great. That's great,
and
Mary.
If you like speaking to ladies in their 80s, that's one of them right here.
All right, Mary, thanks for the call.
Oh, yeah, and the final thing, no, if you ever come to Michigan City, the milk bottle replica, giant size, is still on top of that building.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've been to Michigan City. I know what you're talking about.
Have you seen that bottle on top of that building?
Yes, I have. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, so appreciate our lakefront. Thanks for listening to me.
All right, Mary, take care. I used to camp. We used to go camping in Michigan City. We used to camp there all the time, Michigan City, Indiana. There was a place called Cuddy's. It's like a campground. Am I the only one that remembers Cuddy's? Nobody knows what that. You guys are too young. You wouldn't know Cuddy's.
I've never been to Michigan City.
Michigan City. It's very easy to get to. It's quick. It's nice. Lovely waters, and we used to go to Cuddy's. That's where we camped. C-U-T-T-Y, apostrophe S, Cuddy's. Nothing to do with the scotch. It was a name of a campground. All right, we got some texts about first jobs. Here we go. Margaret, I grew up in Michigan, and I worked at Markham's Pharmacy in Oak Park. It was back in the time where you could own an independent drugstore. Someone texted in just as old biker guy. Old biker guy says, my first job was working the grill at a Jack in the Box in Zion. Did you ever serve Neo? Did Neo ever come in and ask for a burger? Morpheus? Did Morpheus ever come in? One day a guy came through the drive-thru with a gun to rob us. He reached in to get money, so I took the spatula I was using and hacked at his hand, almost cutting it in half. He drove off screaming. The cops found him at a nearby hospital and arrested him, and then I got promoted to manager. That's great. What? You did a drive-thru? You're going to rob with a gun at a drive-thru? I mean, is that a good plan?
There's all kinds of problems with that. You have to put the car in brake. and park.
Yeah.
And then you have to kind of crawl out of the window into their window. Unless, I guess, they give you the money easily.
Well, just leave the drive-thru area. If you're working the drive-thru and you see a guy pull up with a gun, get the hell out of the way.
Right? You could just shut the door.
Yeah. Well, okay. And I don't think that's the best plan. And I just like the fact that, like, he hacked this guy's hand off with a spatula. I really hope he cleaned that spatula afterwards and didn't go back to flipping burgers with it.
That's what it gave the burgers flavor.
Oh, that's what gave the... Yeah, okay. Gunman blood. That's what was the special ingredient. 847 area code. My first job was at Wendy's. I was fired when we were using the lid of the pickle bucket as a frisbee. The area supervisor walked in and I clocked him in the head. I worked at McDonald's. Did anybody else ever work at a fast food place? Vic, did you ever work at a fast food place?
Arby's.
Oh, God bless you.
I would take the turnovers and go hide in the bathroom stall and eat them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sneak
Arby's.
Away for 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
Hey, you only got fired once.
I did not get fired from Arby's. No.
No.
Okay.
No.
I walked away with my head held high.
That's right, from Arby's.
Turnovers in your pocket.
I don't know what my thought process was here, but I was actually voted class president. I don't remember what grade it was in. And turned it down because it interfered with my work hours at Arby's. That is a true story.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I can't take this position. I work at Arby's.
I needed the money more than I needed to be class president.
That's fantastic. I'm sorry. I'll have to decline. Give it to the vice president because I work at Arby's. That's fantastic. Esmeralda, no fast food in your...
Nope, just Baker Square.
I worked at McDonald's for many years. And, you know, the pickle bucket frisbee lid, that's nothing compared to kind of the stuff we did. Because, you know, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the tartar sauce and the Big Mac sauce, I don't know if it's still this way, but when I worked there, they were in, like, caulk guns. Like, it would be like a tube. You would stick it in. It was exactly like a caulk gun. And you would squeeze the metal trigger thing, and the stuff would just plop out onto the bun. And it was the correct amount of, you know, it was the measured amount of secret sauce for your Big Mac or your tartar sauce. Well, these things would shoot pretty far. So we would have Big Mac sauce war in the back where we just take the caulk guns full of Big Mac sauce and just shoot them across the back room area and splatter them all over the walls and stuff. That was one of our favorite things to do, was tartar sauce and Big Mac sauce fights with your caulk gun. I don't know if that's still how they do it. I would imagine it would be, right? Do you know when I worked at McDonald's, the one thing that I hated the most was, first of all, how much you would smell after a shift. Because I used to work in the back on the grill. I worked up front, too, but I worked in the back on the grill most of the time. And, you know, the onions that go on, and again, I don't know if this is true. I mean, I worked there like 35 years ago. So that was, I'm sure things have changed in 35 years at McDonald's. But when I worked there, the onions that you would put on cheeseburgers and hamburgers and Big Macs, they were dehydrated. So they were like freeze-dried onions. And you would open up the bag and they would pour out like flakes, like cereal, dehydrated. Pour them out. You'd fill the thing full of water. You'd put it in the walk-in cooler for like a night. And then the next day you have lovely dehydrated onions that are no longer dehydrated but hydrated. And those things, you would have to take them by your hand to put them on the patties for Big Macs or for cheeseburgers or burgers and sticking your hand in there to pull out the onions and put them on the burger while they're on the grill. I could not get that onion smell off my hands. It didn't matter how many times I scrubbed my fingers, didn't matter how many times I took a shower. I'd smell like onions. I'd go to school the next day in the morning. I'd scratch my nose or something. Nothing but dehydrated onion smell. Sucked. But I worked at McDonald's for a long time. I actually became a manager. I was working at Jewel and McDonald's at the same time when I was. It's when I dropped out of college. I was like, I got no choice. I'm going to have to get another job. So, all right, we got a break. First jobs I got. We will wrap that up. And then I threw out first concerts. What was your first concert? First concert you ever went to? 312-981-7200. It's first because it's June 1st right here on WGN. Yeah. Wild Card Wednesday. Nick DiGilio here. The King. 773 requested The King, Elvis. Little Sister. Yeah. 312-981-7200 for Wild Card Wednesday. And your first concerts. We're going to get to that. I want to wrap up our, we got a bunch of texts here with first jobs, which we were talking about. We're talking about firsts. It's June 1st. And, we were talking about your first car, your first jobs, and we're going to get into your the first concert you ever went to and tell those stories as well. Jay in Ohio, Nick, my first job was on a tomato farm. Wonder, did he just pick tomatoes? Um, 815 area code says, my first job was at 15 years old. I passed out menus and flyers for Augie's Double Dog Hot Dog Restaurant. I put the menus in mailboxes on cars and under the doors of apartments on the Gold Coast. Okay. Augie's Double Dog Hot Dog Restaurant. Does that mean they only serve double dogs? Because you had to get a double when you wanted a dog, had to double them? Keith said, first job I was fired from was at the Toys R Us pickup counter. One of the people I was supervising got too stoned to complete one of his nightly tasks. So you got fired? What? Oh, because he was the supervisor. I see. And the supervisor should not allow the person that's being supervised to be stoned out of his mind. I understand. Well, I'm hoping the guy who was stoned got fired. You know? You know what? It's your fault that this guy got stoned, so you're fired. We're going to keep him on. Cheech can stay. You got to go. John says, hey, Nick, I was in the band Exit with your friend Joe Donatello. Is that John O'Malley? John O'Malley. I would say it was our first job, but we never got paid. I know. I was there, man. John O'Malley with my friend Joe Donatello. Hey, listen, Joe Donatello. Hey, listen, you got to come and see my band Exit. You know who's going to be in the audience? Only acting mayor Eugene Sawyer. Joe, he was the best. He was in so many bands. But Joe was in like 800 bands. He played bass. And then he ended up like producing records and stuff. And, you know, like hobnobbing with Al Jorgensen and Oliver Stone. Oh, yeah, Heaven and Earth was a real treat, pal. Hey, listen, Al Jorgensen, what the hell happened after that first album? He was in a band. What was the one that he was all? He would wear like Joe would be like. This was like in the early 80s. So Joe was wearing like eyeliner and stuff. He was doing the early 80s eyeliner, and he would wear his mom's sweaters. This looks cool. I'm wearing this, and his mom would be like, "Joe, what are you doing with my sweater? I'm gonna wear it for the gig. Look at how cool it looks." Joe and I went through the hair thing together in the 80s. You know, we both had rat tails at one point. Real short on the side, straight in the back. Mullets. He had a mullet. My friend Scott, who likes to bust chairs at concerts, especially if it's the Hooters and Bryan Adams, used to say, "Hey, man, why do you have an anaconda on your head?" He used to tell Joe that he had an anaconda on his head. "It's not an anaconda, it's a hairstyle, man. I don't know who the hell you think you are." This is cool. He was in a band called Tear Memory. That was the band where he wore the eye makeup. That was the band where he wore his mom's clothes and the eye makeup was in a band called Tear Memory. And they had a chick singer. She was good. I can't remember what her name was. Maybe John O'Malley, who's listening, knows. Yeah. No, no, I don't think that counts. John, I don't think that counts as a job. I don't think being I don't think being in the band Exit with Joe counts as a job. It was work. I remember that. All right. We're going to have an anaconda on your head. Okay, let's see. First concerts, here's Dave. Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, my first concert, I'm from Northwest Indiana, and we were heading up to see Rush at the Rosemont, probably 78, 79.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about 15 or 16 years old. And back in those days, you were able to sit in a parking lot and party a few hours before the show.
Yeah.
Well, next thing we know, we look up, and we're all the way at Marriott's Great America.
Oh, man, you overshot Rosemont by a little bit.
The funny thing was, we were able to get back and still make it there before the show started.
Yeah, of course. Wow. Wow, that's pretty good. It's like, hey, wait, I think we went a little too far, man. There's a giant roller coaster on the right side of the highway here. I think we went too far.
We're a little toasted, to say the least.
Yeah, okay. All right, Dave. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks, Dave. Okay.
Rush. Yeah, man, Rush! We've gone through this before. Dan, your first concert was again?
Guster at the Bradley University Student Convention Center.
Right. Yep. And Vic, what was your first concert?
Bobby Brown, New Edition.
That's right. Vic win. Vic for the win, man. Esmeralda, you again?
It's All for One.
All for One. Oh, that's right. All for One. Is the one a one number?
No, it's the word.
It's the word, but the four is a four.
Yes.
All four, one.
And it's all dash letter, or number four, dash one.
Is there a reason for that?
No, I don't know.
Come on, you're the president of the fan club.
They are apparently coming in October, so we should have them on and ask them.
All 4-1 is coming. Where? Where are they playing? Ribfest?
I think it's somewhere notable. Might be you know what? They might be on one of those 90s
tours.
Oh,
it's one of those. It's probably one of those 90s tours.
Right.
Yeah, I bet. But that 190s tour sounds fantastic, right? It's like Salt and Pepper and Spinderella. Don't forget Spinderella. I can't remember. And then like Vanilla Ice is on one of those tours, right?
It is.
And of course, you have it right at your fingertips.
Oh, no. It's just, I was hoping they would tell me. There's no detail.
No detail? All for
it's,
one.
I don't know who else.
But they're playing where? Does it say?
Oh, wait, hold on. Well, no, because they're not with them.
Oh, okay.
No, but Vanilla Ice, too, by the way. Salt and Pepper and Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
And Coolio.
Oh, and Coolio.
And Kid and Play.
That's fantastic.
Wait, actually, it might be All for One.
It would fit. I mean, if they were on that bill, that would totally fit. Well, we'll get all the details because we have to break here for the news. We'll come back. We're talking first concerts. What was your first concert on June 1st? It's the first. What was your first concert? 312-981-7200.
Back when my hair was short, I met some friends in court for stealing hubcaps from cars. Chain smoking under the stars. Played all night pinball in bars and dreamed about love. We were experts on love. We talked our way all around it.
I have not heard this song in many, many years. Wild Card Wednesday, yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. Nick DiGilio here on WGN, here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, coming up right after this. And at 6 o'clock, Steve Cochran. Alan in North Carolina requested Back When My Hair Was Short by Gun Hill Road. I haven't heard that song in ages. Man, oh man. Wow, Wild Card Wednesday, man. All right, we're talking about first concerts. And other firsts, because it's June 1st. Yeah, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. So here's Harold on WGN. Hi, Harold.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
So I had a cool one on jobs that I got fired from, a job I got fired from, but you're on to concerts, so I go on to that. First one was Johnny Cash at the Wisconsin State Fair.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
They were my family, June Carter. I was probably about 13 now. The first one I actually bought tickets for myself, I think, was Stevie Ray Vaughan at the Aragon Ballroom.
I believe I was at that show. I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan. I saw him at the Aragon, and I saw him at Star Plaza, but it was called Holiday Star then in Merrillville. Those are the two places I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I seen him at Aragon, and then I seen him at the Blues Fest. And unfortunately, at the Blues Fest, I was always used to, you know, I'd go there, and they, you know, he's going to be the headliner, so like the last show performing. So every year there would, I'd go there like 6 o'clock, 6:30 or so, and get me a front row seat. Did it with every year, every band I saw, front row right there. Stevie Ray Vaughan, I get over there like about 6:15, and I'm like 60th row.
Stevie Ray, man. He's the man. Stuff. All right, Harold, thanks, man.
All right, take care.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, that show at the Aragon that I saw, I'm trying to remember the year. I want to say it was 89, maybe. Yeah, it was 89, or it was either 88 or 89, because he died in 90. When he Dan, could you look that up? He died in 90. I mean, his last show was at Alpine Valley with Robert Cray. And then he died in the helicopter crash. Was it 90, right?
Yes, yeah, August 27, 1990.
Yeah. What a damn shame. Stevie Ray Vaughan was that show at the Aragon was one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. That guy was unbelievable. He was unbelievable. It's a damn shame. Makes me mad. Now mad.
Oh no.
Have you ever seen, you're too young for Stevie Ray Vaughan, right?
No, I mean,
you remember him, you know.
Yeah, but
you know.
I never saw him. No, I never saw him.
People were lucky if they got to see him, man. He was around for a while, taken from us way too soon, but he was, man, he would tear it up. That guy could play the guitar. Oh! I remember at the Aragon show, I was right by the side of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Please. All right, 773 area code, first concert, Jethro Tull. Yeah, the Tull show continues. We always have a Tull mention per show. The official Jethro Tull show of WGN is the Nick DiGilio show, where Jethro Tull gets mentioned at least twice a week.
You need to have something where when you mention it and then you just hear like
dun, 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 dun.
I would just think a little flute, like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and then that was it.
For every Tull mention,
yeah.
A flute plays.
Yeah.
Opening act was Deep Purple. Ooh, dude. Chicago Amphitheater. I'm assuming it's a dude. I'm just guessing. Esmeralda, your first concert would not be Jethro Tull with opening act Deep Purple.
No.
I don't see a lot of women at that show. I saw Jethro Tull many times. I saw Deep Purple many times. Mostly dudes. In the audience.
That makes sense.
Not a big female following. Jethro Tull does not have a big female following.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes who like D&D at Jethro Tull.
Yeah, I imagined.
Shows.
I imagine. And they come dressed.
A lot of people did, yes.
Elves or...
A lot of people did.
Wizards.
But Jethro Tull is amazing. They're amazing live.
Okay.
Tim from Plainfield said, my first concert was in 1989, Rosemont Horizon, Paul McCartney, Flowers in the Dirt Tour. Still the single greatest concert I've ever been to.
Nice. I'm jealous.
I saw him in 90 on that tour at Soldier Field.
I've never seen him. I really, really should do that before.
Yes, you should, if you can.
Yeah.
I was going to go in when he came in 2011 at Wrigley.
Yeah. He needs to play something small. Like how the Stones did their
Paul McCartney's not going to play anything small.
The Stones did that. They did the Double Door, didn't they?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
That would be amazing. I mean, I probably couldn't get
Did you try to walk down Milwaukee Avenue during that time period?
I stood
outside the Double Door during that.
I knew to stay away.
You could hear it outside. There were like hundreds of us standing out on Milwaukee, standing right by the window. You know, it's blacked out. You can't see
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
But we heard the set.
Quick follow-up. The texter was indeed a woman.
Oh. No kidding!
The one woman at the Jethro Tull show. The one
her,
and only.
Her texts in succession were, not a dude. Went with my girlfriends. We were cool.
Yes, you were. You still are. Your first concert, you're a chick. Your first concert is Jethro Tull and Deep Purple. Put her down on the list of my future ex-wives.
And the girlfriends that
yeah, went with and her. Their girlfriends and her girlfriends. Put them all down on the list. Keith says, my first concert was Dave Brubeck at Ravinia, and I was a kid with my parents. My first paid solo show that I chose was Chicago and the Doobie Brothers Farewell Tour, 1982, at Jane Byrne's Chicago Fest on Navy Pier. Wow, Jane Byrne's Chicago Fest. I saw a lot of shows down there.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah, before it was Taste of Chicago.
She threw her name in there?
Jane Byrne's Chicago Fest.
Like, this is mine.
Well, she invented it.
I know, but you know, people don't usually go, yeah, no. We're going to put my name in the title.
Jane Byrne ruled. I love Jane Byrne. I loved her. I thought she was great. You were too young, but do you remember she quote unquote lived at Cabrini Green for a while?
When was she? What year?
70. What would it be? 76 to 80? No.
Yeah, I wasn't even born. Yeah, no.
When was she mayor? Did she have two terms? I think she had two terms as mayor. 83, because Washington, she was 83. It was whatever it was, 79 to 83? 79 to 83, because Harold Washington became the mayor in 83.
Okay. Yeah, I was a baby. Well.
Well, but yeah, Jane Byrne's Chicago Fest, that was back when Navy Pier, there was nothing at Navy Pier.
Right.
Like, it was deserted. It was a dump. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing but, like, bums and just nothing. There was no Ferris wheel that malfunctions. None of that crap was down there. It was nothing. And then once a year, they would line street vendors, food vendors up down the whole thing. There were three stages, and they would have concerts there that were sponsored by different radio stations.
I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it became Taste of Chicago, which is one of the biggest draws in this city. Yeah,
especially if you can get,
yeah.
What was it, Doobie Brothers and who else?
Oh, I mean, I'm telling you, it was Chicago and the Doobie Brothers.
I mean, that's pretty
By the
awesome.
Way, Chicago and Doobie Brothers on their farewell tour.
Oh, okay.
1982. It was their farewell tour. I love when they do that. You know, it's a farewell tour. 3 years later, this is another farewell tour. You're too young. You don't remember. This was insane. To prove that it was safe to live at Cabrini Green, Mayor Byrne moved in. Well, quote, moved in. Mm-hmm. You know, which means she blocked off like two floors of her own, had armed guards. And
right, yeah. I mean, she's the mayor. She
stayed
can't.
There for like 3 hours a day and then left.
Yeah.
But it was advertised that she moved into Cabrini Green.
I mean, I guess, technically.
You know, I'm not crazy about the movie, but she is the reason that the Blues Brothers was shot here and shot in the way where they had freedom. She allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
You want to destroy a mall? Go. You want to go? You want to drive through the Daily Center? You want to smash your car through? You want to smash a bunch of cars through the Daily Center? Do it. I don't care. She would party with Belushi and Aykroyd. There are lots of shots of her, like, during that time period when they were shooting the movie. Mm-hmm. She had the black hat and the sunglasses on and a cigar hanging out of her mouth, taking pictures with him. I like Jane Byrne, man. I always like Jane Byrne. 708 area code. First concert was Toby Keith. Ugh. Mm-mm. Vodka and country don't mix, and I threw up in the cab on the way there.
Oh, no.
God, you threw up on the way there? Oh. Not even afterwards? 312 area code says Rick James, and it was great. Never got to see Rick James. I would have loved to have seen Rick James. You ever see George Clinton in Parliament?
I want to say I have.
Oh, you'd remember. Yeah.
I mean, he still tours. Right. I may have seen him like when I worked at the Tweeter Center. He might have gone
I saw through. Him. You know where I saw him? At Joe's on Weed.
Okay.
Saw him there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a small place.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was insane. Insane. The place was wall-to-wall people. Insane. What the hell was he doing playing there, I wonder?
It's cool.
It is very cool.
Because it's that cool, you know. You're
That's where Paul McCartney
venue.
Should play.
I mean, hey, it's smaller. I like, you
Could
know,
Could you imagine
it's a cool
Paul McCartney Paul McCartney playing at Joe's on Weed? He'd show up and go, what is this? That was my liver. That was my liver Pudlian accent.
For a second, I was like, "Paul,
yeah. What is this,
sir? Sir Paul, are you here?"
See, close your eyes, man.
Yeah.
I am from Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got a break here for weather and traffic, and then we'll come back. First concerts, 312-981-7200, because it's first. It's January 1st. It's January 1st. Oddly, it's 70 degrees outside, January 1st. Oh, kingdom of madness. You've got me on the run. Wild Card Wednesday. 331 area code requested Kingdom of Madness by Magnum. Dan, was there a video accompanying that?
No, this is just a lyric video.
Okay, because I bet it would be very special. Oh man, do you know who? You don't know who Rick Wakeman is, do you?
No.
Okay, he was an organist.
Okay.
Who was in Yes for a while.
Okay.
So he's like a, you know, Rick Wakeman had like long blonde hair and he used to wear flowing robes. He's another
right,
one of these.
Sure.
It's Yes. It's in that same category as your D&D kind of,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Guys.
I was going to say, did they tour with Jethro?
Well, that's the thing. That's very much, and that's why I thought of Rick Wakeman. This is absolutely true. You can look this up. You can look this up online. There's actual footage of it. I'm not making this up. Rick Wakeman released a concept album in the 70s about King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table.
Okay.
Full on concept album, hour and a half, telling the stories of the story of Camelot and King Arthur, Knights of the Round Table. He's got like, you know, a giant organ surrounding him and synthesizer. He's, you know, like got a crown on with long hair, and they would act it out. So, but. It was on ice.
Oh no! Wait!
I swear to God, this is true.
He was playing the organ on ice.
The band was like in the middle, okay, mm-hmm. And yeah, they were on like they would do it in hockey rinks or they would do it in stadiums with ice.
Mm-hmm.
So the band was set up like in the round. They would circled. So imagine like, you know, right at center ice, mm-hmm. You know, at United Center. Just imagine a bunch of long haired, you know. Fantasy D&D rock guy, you know,
oh my god,
prog rock guys playing their instruments and singing about King Arthur, and surrounding them were actors on ice skates and fake horses around their waists, like they would skate like the horses they were on, like they were on horse, but they were skating.
So all the Ren Faire actors,
yeah, but like on horses.
Oh my god.
Like fake horses, and they would like joust and they would act out the Knights of the Round Table stuff on skates.
This sounds epic.
I would love to have seen this. Oh my god, it's one of my biggest regrets that I did not go. But there is footage available. You can see it online. I think if you just look up Rick Wakeman King Arthur Ice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making this up. It sounds like something out of Spinal Tap, and I'm assuming Spinal Tap was inspired by this, because this is a true thing. It's dudes like skating around with, you know, like their legs as the horse's legs,
mm-hmm.
but they're on skates.
I want to go to medieval times.
It's just, you ever see medieval times? But imagine medieval times on ice. That's what this was. With Rick Wakeman playing 27-minute organ solos.
Wow.
Yeah. Real thing.
Mm-hmm.
A real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Judith on WGN. First concert, Judith.
Hi there.
Hi.
I was telling your guy that it was like in the mid-60s, probably 63, 64, it was a James Brown concert at the Baltimore Center.
Yeah.
The Civic Center was pretty new. And it was, you know, it was kind of iffy, ouchy racial times. And we were a bunch of white high school kids in the suburbs. And we were bound and determined to show solidarity. Okay. And then we also liked James Brown.
Yeah, well, I can understand. You go see James Brown in the 60s. That's pretty special right there. That's pretty special. Thank you, Judith. Judith, here's Chris on WGN. Hey, Chris.
Hey, man. How's it going?
All right.
All right. This was at Poplar Creek, I'd have to say, 86,
yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
Zach Wilde had a band called Pride and Glory.
Yep, absolutely.
And they opened. Then there was Ted Nugent.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was Aerosmith.
Wow.
Did Ted Nugent come out on a buffalo?
No, I don't think Ted Nugent came out. He didn't come out on a buffalo, did he, Chris?
Oh, no.
He didn't. He saved the buffalo for the House of Blues. That's the.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, man. Yeah.
Zach Wilde, man. Zach Wilde rules.
Oh, yeah, man. He rocks.
He's the best. All right, Chris, I got to run, buddy.
All right, dude.
Thanks,
thank
man.
You.
Aerosmith, Ted Nugent, Zach Wilde at Poplar Creek.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, man. let's find out what's happening on the opening bell in just a few minutes here. Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning. How
good morning.
Are you?
All right.
We have an interesting story about all of these college grads moving out into the job force. They say they're ready for all kinds of positions. Management says otherwise. We're going to have the results of a new report, a new survey research out. Also, later in the half hour, we're going to give TSA a report card. Our aviation experts here to see how the Memorial Day weekend went and to see if TSA is ready for the summer ahead. It's all coming up on the opening bell.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
Have a good day.
All right, you too. Okay, that's coming up. All right, let's finish this off. We got some text. First Concerts, 708 area code. First Concert, Anthrax opening for Maiden, January of 1991 at the Rosemont Horizon. You've seen Maiden.
I have. I have seen Maiden. And I just, some years ago, just heard Anthrax because I was kind of frightened of it.
They're great, Anthrax.
And then I didn't realize they're not that scary.
No, I've seen them like a bunch of times. I saw them. The best was when they played with P.E.
Yeah. Like, again, because Iron Maiden, I thought they were scary. And
no, Maiden's ridiculous.
There's a monster coming.
It's Eddie. It's big blow-up Eddie jumping around like an idiot. 847 area code. My first concert was Fish's Farewell Tour. And then it says, I think they had a couple more of those since then. Yeah. 847 area code. The Monkees was their first
nice show.
Nice.
What, they just played somewhere?
And Torque.
Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just put. I had a friend who's a big fan. She went.
Noam Nesmith?
No, he
and
was
obviously
on a screen.
He was on
he
a screen.
Skyped in.
He Skyped in.
Yeah. That's what she he posted. Skyped in.
Let's see. Beatles, 64 at Sox Park, Jim says.
Oh, that's awesome.
Forget it, man. That's the best. That trumps everything. Grand Funk Railroad at Chicago Amphitheater, 847 area code. 847, I was lucky enough to see B.B. King and Stevie Nicks at my first concert at the Shoreline Amphitheater, late 80s. First concert was ELO opening for Jay Giles in Deep Purple. Good Lord.
That's good.
219, Willie Nelson, Mellencamp, Blind Melon. One of those fundraising type concerts. might have been Farm Aid. And then let's see. Brian says, Eric Clapton, 1996, United Center. I was 15. My dad took me, and it was amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, by the way, Nice Guys, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Earth,
was
Wind,
in
and Fire
there.
Played the porno party.
I was cracking up.
Yeah,
like, they make look, no, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
But they make like no acknowledgement of it.
They don't.
Just cut to it, and it's actors playing Earth, Wind, and Fire, and they're singing September, and I'm like, what?
I heard
the
that song, and I was like, yeah. There's 80 of them.
I just love the fact that Shane Black wrote that Earth, Wind, and Fire would indeed play a porno party.
I think so. Makes sense.
Yeah. They got paid.
Makes total sense.
And how many people were on stage in the movie?
There's like 80.
That's exactly right.
You know, climbed up on that stage.
All right. Esmeralda, I'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow on the show, about 23 hours from now, we will be doing Would Esmeralda Buy That? So get ready.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
See ya.